All right, welcome everyone. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. Today's message is two difficult passages in Hebrews. I am Dr. Mary Craig. It is February 5, 2023. This is a live recording, and the message will be delivered by Stephen Craig. But first, Joanna Borman is going to open us in prayer.
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, his perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have done for us, what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility, on bended knee, with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. And now we're kind of going back and forth, but you're going to open this and then, you know, okay.
Okay. This is the series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit, and the message, Two Difficult Passages in Hebrews. It's from Mary Craig D-Min, and I'm Stephen Craig delivering the message, February 5th, 2023, in Mary Craig Ministries, Inc., Craig House Christian Fellowship. And this is the first difficult passage, Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 6.
Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt.
Okay, thank you, Joanna. In Hebrews 6, 1 through 6, the true believers urged, to pursue maturity. If a believer could lose his salvation, he would have to be regenerated again and again. This passage is hypothetical. It is an oddity that one can undergo the process of salvation and then, quote, fall away, unquote. If we got really technical, we would look up the meaning of some Greek participles. And the references for those are G5461, G1089, G1096, G1089, middle voice, and G340. The key is, quote, having been, G340 refers to a repentance which is qualitatively new and different. The point is that if a different form of repentance were needed, Christ would also have to die on the cross again. Is this so? In references, Hebrews 9:28 and Hebrews 10:11-12. The writer uses a form of reasoning known as reduction ad absurdum, a reduction to an absurdity. Is there any security in Christ, or does he need to die again? On what would security in Christ be based? Who does the work of salvation, the Holy Spirit or the believer? Think carefully about this. It has critical importance as to how we live our lives as Christians. Next, we might ask, does the Holy Spirit work in people who are not elect or saved? References, Matthew 7:22-23. Isaiah 45:1-6. For example, there is such a thing we call, quote, restraining grace, unquote. It differs from, quote, saving grace, quote. With some effort in looking up Scripture, we could identify four operations of the Holy Spirit in the non-elect: general and inferior operations as distinguished from special and superior operations. Here are the four groups of scriptures: Genesis 6:3-5-12, Psalm 14:1-5, John 19:11. Next group, 1 Samuel 10:26, 1 Samuel 24:16, Exodus 12:35-36. Next group, John 3:19, Genesis 6:3, Acts 7:51. And finally, Hebrews 6:4. That's the final group. Now, the second difficult passage, and this is Hebrews 10:26-31. Hey, you want to read it again?
Sure. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Thanks, that's great. Hebrews 10:26-31. So in Hebrews 10:26-31, focusing on 10:29, the writer warns believers. This passage, number one, relates to the Old Testament teaching on sins of presumption and willful disobedience. Reference numbers, that is, Numbers 15:29-31. Numbers 15:29-31 is the reference. What is it to do despite to the Spirit of grace? How might one be indicted for treading underfoot the Son of God and counting the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy or common thing? It is possible to insult the, quote, one of a granting, quote, referring to the Spirit of grace. Let me read that again. It is possible to insult the one of a granting, referring to the Spirit of grace. And the reference is C, and this is the word G1796. So that's G1796. This passage, number two, relates to the importance of understanding the gospel in its fullness and of seeking genuine assurance of salvation and its basis. The writer of Hebrews has shown how much better it is that Christ died once for all time, an offering of himself that never needs to be repeated. Hebrews 7:27, Hebrews 8:7-13, Hebrews 9:28, 1 Peter 3:18, Romans 6:10. The warning to believers in Hebrews 10:29 takes us back to Numbers 15:29-31, and the warning concerning sins of presumption and willful disobedience. Remember, there was no provision of atonement by blood under the law for sins of a high hand. This category of sins included knowing and deliberate sins, defiant sin, presumptuous sin, rejecting and despising Moses' law, willful and persistent sin, and open rebellion. Instead, the punishment was by death after the witnesses of two or more others without mercy. Forgiveness and reinstatement into the covenant community was available through the law of Moses for sins of ignorance and, quote, weakness, quote. Now, paraphrasing George Smeaton, there was no atonement under the law for sins of a high hand, intentional and willful sin. Leviticus 4, Numbers 15, 30, Ezekiel 18, 1-18, Revelation 5, 1-14. Acts 3, 17, 1 Timothy 1, 13. Many were kept in the dark and did what they did through ignorance. God safeguarded them in this way, that their sins could be forgiven. Had they rejected Jesus the Messiah and the Son of God, with full knowledge of his deity and a full consciousness of their act, there would have been no atonement for their guilt and no salvation. Now the quote, a quote from George Smeaton. In the infinite wisdom of God, the Lord's death was brought about by the nation whose Messiah he was, but whom they did not know. I quote George Smeaton. Three broad categories. Category 1, those done unintentionally. Category 2, those done intentionally but out of weakness of soul. Category 3, those done intentionally, that is, a high hand. And the reference is TorahResource.com. Now, this is a quote from Mary Craig, The Testimony of Jesus, what he taught on the atonement. The sins done out of weakness are done out of intention, but the heart is not fully given over to rebellion. Sins of a high hand are done intentionally with full recognition that they are clearly wrong, yet the person continues to commit these sins, turning their back upon God without remorse or guilt. Sins in the first two categories may be atoned for, but not Category 3. Sins of overt rebellion have no atonement, like apostasy, Acts 21, verse 21, and 2 Thessalonians, that is, and 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. One may repent of the sin of rebellion, but must understand that repentance is the gift of God, Acts 5:31, 2 Timothy 2:25. Persistent rebellion runs the risk that God may no longer grant repentance. Ignorance is no excuse, but it is still distinguished from outright rebellion. Immaturity and careless sin might fall into this category. Failure to know God's word will inevitably lead to sin, even if unintentional. Failure to know God's word will inevitably lead to sin, even if unintentional. And that's the end quote, Mary Craig, The Testimony of Jesus, what he taught on the atonement. This is from 2013, page 28. To do despot to the Spirit of grace is to tread underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant wherewith one was sanctified an unholy or common thing. Quote, Innubrizo, quote, and the number 1796, so that's the word reference there, it is to insult the, quote, one of a granting, quote, referring to the Holy Spirit as gracious. And this is important. Well, it also says, it is important to understand the gospel in its fullness and seek genuine assurance of salvation and its basis. The coming of the Holy Spirit is the extension of the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of promise, wisdom, access, revelation, power, unity, and fullness. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, who ratifies the covenant in Christ's blood. The Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of Christ, indwells every believer. Now, I want us to look specifically at grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. This implies that those who treat the Holy Spirit so as to grieve and quench him have received the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of adoption. So the ones sealed, the ones who are saved, safe, and kept by the power of the Holy Spirit, are the ones who can cause the Holy Spirit deep sorrow. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Grieving the Holy Spirit does not drive the Holy Spirit out of our hearts. That is impossible. But when we grieve the Spirit, we lose the joy, power, and assurance of our salvation. We lose our confidence. What grieves the Holy Spirit likewise grieves the Father and the Son. Paul cautions believers, and it is the Holy Spirit who inspired Paul's writings, to be sensitive regarding the feelings of the Holy Spirit. And this is important again. Remember, he is the one who applies what Jesus Christ accomplished as to salvation. Remember, he is the one who applies what Jesus Christ accomplished as to salvation. Again, the Holy Spirit is a person. To be grieved is to have feelings. The Holy Spirit is not an influence or a power or a force or an, quote, it, unquote. As a distinct person, the Holy Spirit feels sorrow and grief as well as joy and rejoicing. What we do or say or think will either please or give pain to the Holy Spirit. Grief is a feeling of the heart. The Holy Spirit loves those for whom Christ died, those given to Christ by the Father. Romans 5, verse 5. The deeper the love, the greater the grief. This is why the gentle dove is a fitting symbol of the Holy Spirit. Also, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we also trouble ourselves. The Holy Spirit dwells within the believer, so his sadness, capital H his, will be felt in our own feelings. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Jesus was acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53, verse 3. So, too, the Holy Spirit, Psalm 78, 40, 95, verse 10. That is chapter, Psalm 78, verse 40, Psalm 95, verse 10. Isaiah 63, 10. In Isaiah 63, 10, we find the Holy Spirit vexed. And in Micah 2, 7, the Spirit of the Lord was straitened. We grieve the Holy Spirit through, and there are five of these, 105, that's how we grieve the Holy Spirit. 105, ignorance of his presence. John 1, verse 26. Christ is God's gift, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son as a gift awarded to Christ and given to his own. When we take for granted this precious gift, the promise of the Father, purchased by the blood of Christ, we wound not only the heart of Jesus, but also the Holy Spirit. We have disregarded this blood-bought gift of infinite worth. 2 of 5. Partial possession. We are not just to possess the Spirit, but to be infilled by him. Ephesians 5, verse 18. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we deny him full, absolute control of every part of our being. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. 3 of 5, disobedience to his commands and promptings, Acts 5:32. Christ was grieved by the hardness of heart of some who heard him, Mark 3:5, doubting or neglecting the power of the Holy Spirit, and disobeying him causes us to lose the sense of his presence. The Holy Spirit was given that we might obey through faith, which works by love. He is the Spirit of grace. Test the spirits, okay. But when you are sure, obey. And when in doubt, don't. Do not forget his presence. Ask, quote, is this worth losing the anointing? Unquote. 4 of 5. Allowing things the Holy Spirit hates. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we willfully pollute his temple, the place of his habitation. I'm talking about body, mind, soul, spirit, and life. I'm talking about habits, companions, environments, words of Belial we've swallowed, etc. I'm talking about putting cell phones ahead of the sermon, putting work ahead of the word. I'm talking about pride, sloth, selfishness, etc. We are not to be blind to the teaching of the Spirit through the Word and through, capital P, Providence. We are warned against wounding his love, deadening his voice, and corrupting ourselves. 5 of 5. How we treat others in the body of Christ. What happens to one member of the body of Christ affects the rest of the body. Treat others as you would have others treat you. Treat the Holy Spirit the same, seeking not to hurt him. Bitterness, wrath, anger, quarrels, unworthy passions, clamor, strife, evil speaking, unkindness, malice, spitefulness, all grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:17-32. These obscure the seal of the Spirit just like dirt hides what lies underneath. Let the devil eat dust. Do not join him at his dinner table. So how can we please the Holy Spirit? Every believer can be helped by the Holy Spirit dwelling within to please him. Some of the ways in which he can be pleased include mutual kindness, being full of pity or mercy or kind-heartedness, forgiving others as God in Christ has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:22-32, Galatians 5:13-26, and Colossians 3:12-17. So basically, how we treat God personally and how we treat one another determines the joy or sorrow, pain or pleasure of the Holy Spirit. Infinite love has the capacity of infinite sorrow, and the Spirit of God loves his own with an infinite love. It is for us to recognize this and be cognizant of what pleases the Lord. There are many ways in which the Holy Spirit can be offended, and over the weeks, these have been referred to in this study. We do not want to work against the one great source of power in service to God. Campbell Morgan says, quote, to resist presupposes the Holy Spirit coming to storm the citadel of the soul. To grieve presupposes the presence of the Spirit as comforter. To quench presupposes the presence of the Spirit as a fire. Unquote.
All right. Thank you, and let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to be aware of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to be aware of Jesus in our lives, to be aware that you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have... Jesus has made it possible for us to have access to you, to know you as Father and not as judge, and not only as judge. And Lord, help us to heed the warnings that come forth in the message to the Hebrews, Lord. They are there because, you know, the writer to the Hebrews says, well, but I think better of you and things like that. They are warnings, hypotheticals, and things like, it hasn't been, don't let it be. And Lord, we thank you because our lives depend. Our next breath depends on the Holy Spirit. He is our breath. He is the breath of the Almighty. And God, where the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so, God, we ask for the grace. We ask, God, that you would forgive us our sins. Wherever we have turned away, turned astray, and help us to guard against drifting and doubting and disbelieving, and which leads to disobedience and death. And so, God, we give you all the praise and we give you the glory. We thank you, God, for the provision of the Holy Spirit. Let us guard that relationship. Let us never take it for granted, Lord. And bless us, we pray. For you are a covenant-keeping God. And help us, Lord, to desire holiness in our lives. For we have been exhorted, be holy as you, Lord, are holy. Help us to watch and pray. It is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, King of kings and Lord of lords, ruler of the kings of this earth, and coming again, that we pray. Amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.